Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Hello, and welcome to the GSMC Relationship Podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by AdamandEve.com, where for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off of just about any item on their website. Just type in the promo code RELATION at checkout. That's RELATION. Again, welcome to the GSMC Relationship Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and relationships are hard. I know I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. Even when they are going extremely well, they still take work. They still need to be nurtured and cared for and paid attention to in order that they can continue to be healthy and loving and strong. So relationships take work, and that's platonic relationships, romantic relationships, all relationships take work. That's also true no matter what type of relationship with you're involved with. Even if you're single, relationships still take work, right? If you've been married for 70 years, they're still going to take work. It doesn't matter if you are gay or straight, married, living together, dating, relationships take work. So today we're going to talk about a list of 15 things that have been compiled by numerous different experts on relationships and see what advice they have to give us to keep those relationships strong and vibrant for years to come. So similar to what I did last week, I am going to work from a list that I found online, a list of 15 things that relationship experts want to teach us about relationships. And this comes from a website called greatest.com, and the article is from December 8th, 2015 by Locke Hughes, and it is called Here's What 15 Relationship Experts Want to Teach You About Love. So let's go ahead and see what the experts have to tell us about relationships. So the first thing on the list, number one, is do or say something daily to show your appreciation. And I really, really love this. It seems like something so simple, and some people are really, really good at this, and other people, it doesn't maybe even occur to them to, you know, we get into our own habits of communication, and we may think that we are saying something on a regular basis that shows our appreciation, but are we? How often do we get into the habit of talking to our, and this could be friends, family, loved ones, spouse, partner, just the person you're dating, whatever it is in relationships, how often do you fall into that pattern of pointing out the things that you're annoyed with? You didn't put your socks up again. You didn't do this. I asked you to do that. I thought we agreed we were going to do this. And yet when they do something that you really appreciate, how often do you say, hey, thanks, I really appreciated that you unloaded the dishwasher? And, you know, sometimes we might think, well, why do I have to do this? They don't say thank you to me. But I had a friend who was also a therapist who always told me that you should act in a relationship the way that you also want to be treated. So kind of that golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? So if you're not saying anything and your partner or the person that you're in the relationship with is not saying anything, maybe you've just fallen into this habit, and you can maybe you can talk about it, or you could try first to just insert that into your daily routine, into your daily habits. Do or say something daily to show your appreciation. It doesn't have to be something huge. Saying thank you doesn't take any time at all. This is a good one to use at work as well, especially if you are in any kind of a management position. You know, letting people know that they're appreciated, that they've done a good job, not just pointing out the things that they need to work on, really goes a long way in relationships to let the other person know that you notice their efforts, that you appreciate their efforts, that you're not just always going to point out their flaws or get grumpy with them because they didn't do something that you were hoping that you would. Also, you know, if it's, it doesn't have to be thank you. It can be an affirmation. Tell them that they look nice today, you know, or to say whatever it is. It can be the small gesture of just a hug, a kiss, holding hands, whatever it is. It can be something like putting gas in the car. How many of us hate to put gas in the car? But then when you are running late in the morning and you're somebody else in the household, family member, partner, whatever it is, says, oh, by the way, I put gas in your car last night. How good is that feeling, right? So this is a wonderful thing to add into your daily routine. Just be more conscious of it and try to do something every day, even if it's just something to say, you're the best, or thank you for being awesome. I love that you did that. I think it really helps, and I think it shows the people in our lives that we are paying attention and that we do care for them and appreciate what they have done. And, you know, the more you do it, the more people will start to mirror those actions and emulate what you're doing as well. So, number two, realize every relationship has value, regardless of how long it lasts. And this one is really about more romantic relationships. It could be about friendships as well. But this is from a woman named April Beyer, who is a matchmaker and dating and expert, or relationship expert. And she says that there's no such thing as a failed romance. Relationships simply evolve into what they were always meant to be. It's best not to try to make something that is meant to be seasonal or temporary into a lifelong relationship. Let go and enjoy the journey. Now, I'm going to argue with one thing. I think there can be such a thing as a failed romance when you are in a relationship that's not healthy, when you are in an abusive relationship, whether that's emotionally or verbally or physically abusive. I would see that as a failure, not on the part of the person who's being abused, but on the person who has failed those relationship promises by harming the other person in the relationship. But I do agree with the general statement, sentiment of what she's saying, that there's no such thing as a failed relationship when it comes to moving through your life. Because think about all those people in your life who have been there for forever or for a day. You know, you meet people in college that you don't always keep in touch with. Maybe you're just friends for a semester while you're in a class together, but you don't really hang out after that. Maybe you're friends while you're in college and then you both move away. Maybe it's at a job and you're at that job for several years and then you move away and you lose touch with people all the time, and it just happens. Dating can be like that too. You meet someone, you think, maybe there's something here. You try it out, and it doesn't work out, so you both move on. Acknowledge that and grow from it. Take what you learn from that relationship and apply it to the next relationship in your life. Maybe you learned that, you know, you really did just need something that was short-term and helpful in some way in your life. Or maybe it made you realize that you really are looking for something long-term. We can learn something from every relationship, no matter how minor we have in our lives. Even just brief encounters during the day, you can learn something. You can learn from negative encounters with people, right? Maybe you see someone for only 5 minutes, but they're yelling at you at your job. You know, you work in customer service or you work in retail, and the cranky customer and how you react to that and what you learn from your reaction to that can influence all of your encounters going forward. So no relationship is insignificant, and regardless of how long they last, recognize the value of that encounter, of that relationship. Recognize what you can learn from that relationship and take it with you as you move forward. Number three, never take your partner for granted. And, you know, this is kind of like that first one. Maybe it is something that sounds a little bit obvious, but this one, this expert is saying, this is a couples therapist, and she's saying that you can't imagine how many people come to couples therapy too late. Often, people go to therapy as a last resort. Their partner decides they want out, and the person that still is holding on to the relationship then says, no, wait, let's try therapy. And so they use it as a last resort. It's really important, this expert says, to realize that everyone potentially has a breaking point. And if their needs are not met or they don't feel seen by the other, they will more than likely find it somewhere else. She says a lot of people assume that just because they're okay without things they want, then their partner should be as well. And they just assume that their partner is okay without those things. Of course, no relationship is perfect. Every relationship has room for compromise and figuring things out together as a couple, but these things shouldn't be used as a rationalization, she says, for complacency. No relationship is perfect. Shouldn't be used as a rationalization for complacency, she says. And that is so true. How often or how easy is it when we get involved in hard circumstances, hard situations, and we don't want to talk about it? We're tired for whatever reason. We're stressed out for other reasons, any number of things, and we just don't want to talk about it. And so we say to ourselves or our partner, well, you know, no relationship is perfect. We don't have to worry about this. Don't take your relationships for granted. Don't take your partner for granted. Don't take those people in your life who care about you for granted. Don't assume that what you want is what they want. Keep those channels of communication open so that you can always be figuring out what will be best, what will help your relationship grow and move forward and stay healthy as you go into the future. Number four, remember to take breaks. That might sound like an odd one, but this one comes from Amy Baglin, who is the CEO of a dating site. And she says that a friend taught me that no matter how in love you are or how long you've been together, it's important to take an exhale from your partnership. Hang out with girlfriends until late in the evening. Take a weekend trip to visit family or just spend time doing you for a while. Then when you go home to yours truly, you'll both be recharged and ready to come together even stronger. I actually have a personal anecdote about this. A couple of years ago, I was in between jobs at the time, and so since I wasn't working, my husband said, why don't you go home for Thanksgiving? And so I did, and I got I can't remember if I actually went home. No, I think I went home maybe it was Thanksgiving. You know what? It doesn't matter. It was right around the holidays. And it turned out that I got a really inexpensive one-way ticket. So I went home to visit my family. My whole family lives in Montana, within close distance of one another. And I was there and I was having a great time, and it was so good to hang out with my parents and my siblings and my nieces. And it was just fabulous. And my husband could hear it in my voice. And he said, you know what? Just go ahead and stay through Christmas. And I was like, what? You're going to spend Christmas alone? You want me to stay here for 6 weeks? I think that's how long I stayed that time, was 6 weeks. And he said, yeah, just, you've got time. You've got the time. Soak it up. And it was amazing. It was so amazing. But people were horrified. They could not believe that my husband, A, let me do it, and B, that we weren't lying about being broken up. They were convinced that we were just telling people that I was staying with my family for an extended time and we hadn't broken up. We hadn't. We talked every day. We talked either via Skype or the phone, and of course, massive amounts of texts. And he was, you know, not terribly, he was lonely while I was gone, but he got to do things with his friends. And I got to hang out with my family. It was just amazing. And then when I got back, I was so much more relaxed, and I had spent all this wonderful time with my family, who I don't ever get to see as much as I want to. And it really did bring us together, and it showed me what an amazing partner he is, that he was willing to give me this break. And he's actually gone home. His family's in Ohio. He's actually gone home a couple of times, never for 6 weeks. We should probably figure out how to get him home for 6 weeks if we could swing it. But he's gone to Ohio without me. And just that was when I was working and he had the time off and I didn't. Time apart doesn't mean you're going to fall apart. Time apart can be great. It makes you realize what you miss about your partner. It gives you a fresh perspective. It gives you time with other people, maybe whether it's family or friends, or just time to refresh your mind and spirit. And I think this one's really great. Remember to take breaks. They don't have to be 6 weeks when you're away from your partner. Take a break for an afternoon or whatever it is, and go out and get that refreshment and relaxation in and come back and be stronger in your relationship. So we are going to take our first break of the podcast, but when I come back, we will be on to number 5 in this list of tips the experts say about relationships. So stay tuned and we'll be right back with the GSMC Relationship Podcast. As you know, relationships are not always about sex, but sex can be an important part of a relationship. And it's always nice to, spice things up a little bit in that area. Have you been fantasizing about doing that? Maybe about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or an adult movie? Well, I've got an offer for you that you're not going to be able to resist. Just go to adamandeve.com and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off of just about any item. But wait, when you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration, plus a free gift. And I'm not going to tell you what that free gift is. Nope, it's a mystery gift. You'll get that when you order. But to top it all off, as if this isn't all good enough, they'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. No, they are not kidding. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. You're going to get 50% off of that one item when you type in relation, RELATION, for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get those 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use that offer code RELATION at adamandeve.com. Again, that's RELATION, RELATION, at adamandeve.com. Welcome back to the GSMC Relationship Podcast. We are talking today about this list of 15 things that relationship experts want to teach you about love and relationships. And we are up to number 5. It's not what you fight about, it's how you fight. And this one I have seen more and more and more. I've got several friends who are Lutheran pastors. And as Lutheran pastors, they do marriage counseling, premarital counseling. You're required to do a certain number of hours of premarital counseling before you get married in the Lutheran church. And I have one friend in particular who says she always asks the couple who comes to her office for their premarital counseling, how do you fight? Not what do you fight about? How do you fight? And then they talk about how they fight. And she said often she gets the response, especially in younger couples, of, oh, no, we don't fight. And she says she gives them homework. She says, go home, have a fight, and then come back next week or whenever your next appointment is and tell me, how did you fight? And I think that's great because everyone has differences of opinion. If you never, ever fight, nobody gets along that well. Nobody gets along 100% of the time. Everyone's going to have differences of opinions. And I think we look at fighting as negative, even when it's just a difference of opinion and just something that you're trying to work out. Fighting, just conflict resolution, having a conversation about something, those things are important. And if you aren't having differences of opinion, one of you is probably smothering your instincts and your opinions, and that's not healthy. So this one is from Sean M. Horan, who is an assistant professor of communication at Texas State University, and he says that researchers have found that four conflict messages are able to predict whether couples remain together or get divorced: contempt, criticism, stonewalling or withdrawal, and defensiveness. Together, they're known as the four horsemen of divorce. Instead of resorting to these negative tactics, fight fairly. Look for places where each partner's goal overlaps into a shared common goal and build from that. Also focus on using I versus you language. And that can be so hard. It can be so hard when you're in the heat of an argument and you are just convinced that you're right. It's so easy to say, well, you always do this and you said this and you never do this. Instead of saying, I get frustrated when you say that to me, or I got my feelings hurt when you said X, Y, and Z to me. So rather than attacking you, it's I feel, I think, I experience. It's just a way of reframing the conversation, kind of takes some of that tension off and just brings you back to a little more even ground. Language is important. I know we don't always think that language is important. Oh, it didn't matter what I said, but it can. Saying things certain ways can hurt another person's feelings. And if you are in a relationship with that person, you need to know what is going to affect them and how. So let me give that list again. Those four horsemen of divorce: contempt, criticism, stonewalling or withdrawal, and defensiveness. Those are things that we all resort to when we're arguing with another person, especially defensiveness, right? Or withdrawal, when you just don't want to face it. They're very common. But if that's the only way you fight, then you may be headed for trouble. And it's something that you really want to pay attention to in your relationships, especially if you're new in a relationship. Really pay attention to those first few fights that you have. Number six, stop trying to be each other's everything. Yeah. You are my everything is a lousy pop song lyric and an even worse relationship plan. No one can be everything to anyone. Create relationships outside the relationship, or the relationship isn't going to work anymore. And they're not talking about go out and have an affair. They're talking about have interests outside of the relationship. Have friends outside of the relationship. Do things separately, you know, like that, like number four said, take breaks. But do not try to be everything for the other person, and do not expect the other person to be everything for you. Yes, it's a common trope in romance novels and movies, and it's fun maybe to read about it, but it's not fun to be the person who's desperately trying to be everything to another person and failing. It's not going to work. No one's perfect. So no one's going to be perfect for another person in terms of being everything down to the just iota of what they are expecting in a partner. They're not always going to like the same things. They're not always going to, you know, they're not going to like the same movies. They're not necessarily going to like the same books. They're not necessarily going to like the same activities. You find the common ground. You build on that, you do those things together, and then you each allow the other to find the other things they need outside of the relationship. You love to hike, your partner hates it, you have a friend you go hiking with. Your partner then does whatever he or she likes to do that you don't like to do while you're hiking. It's just a system of checks and balances, really balance. It's a system of balance so that you can go forward in your relationship, feel good about your relationship, etc. Number seven, don't just go for the big O. This comes from Kat Van Kirk, who is a PhD and licensed marriage and sex therapist. And she says that sex isn't just about orgasms. It's about sensation, emotional intimacy, stress relief, improved health, Did you know that sex can improve your immune and cardiovascular systems? Mm-hmm. And increased emotional bonding with your partner, thanks to the wonderful release of hormones due to physical touch. There are many more reasons to have sex than just getting off, she says. Now, orgasms are fabulous, right? They really are all of those things. Stress, you know, orgasms can be an amazing stress relief. They can help us sleep. They're good for us, right? But that's not the only thing that sex can do. Sex is about intimacy, but there's so many ways that we can have intimacy in our relationships. And yes, sometimes you just want to have that quick release. You just want to have that quick little, well, quickie with your partner. You both want to get off and move on about your day. But it's not always just about that. Sometimes it's more about to use a cliche, it's about the journey more than the destination sometimes. You may not even get to your destination on these times, you know? It's just about being close together, increasing your bonding, being close physically, emotionally, even spiritually sometimes, depending on how you view your spirituality. Don't just always rush to finish. Take time to really connect with one another, explore one another, and bond with one another. Take those times and don't get mad if your partner wants to do that rather than rushing to the finish. You know, that's one of those places where you have to work together and figure out what you both want. And, you know, sometimes you'll want longer and your partner will want the short, quick release. And sometimes it'll be the other way. And you'll have to kind of, you know, figure out each time what you're going to do. Again, it's about compromise. It's about communication. So number 8, look for someone with similar values. So even though in number 6 we said that no one can be everything to another person, it is still important usually to have similar values. They say the opposites attract, of course, but if you are so completely opposite, especially on your moral and your morals and your values, that's going to cause a lot of friction. And so for long-lasting love, this expert is Kelly Campbell, PhD, Associate Professor of Psychology at California State University in San Bernardino. She says for long-lasting love, the more similarity, for example, age, education, values, personality, hobbies, the better. Partners should be especially sure that their values match before getting into marriage. Although other differences can be accommodated and tolerated, a difference in values is particularly problematic if the goal is long-lasting love. Another secret for a long marriage, both partners need to commit to making it work no matter what. The one thing that can break up a relationship is the partner. The only thing, she says, that can break up a relationship are the partners themselves. Now, there's lots of you who are going to say, well, I'm married to a wonderful person and we don't, you know, we have all sorts of different things. And, you know, we just spent this whole list talking about have other interests, do other things, take time apart. Mm-hmm. But there is, again, a system of balance. There are the things that you really, really, really find important. I had a professor in grad school who used to say, when it came to arguing about certain theories, certain doctrines, certain whatever, he'd always say, is that a ditch you're willing to die in? Meaning, is this argument so important for you that you are going to die in that ditch of that argument? Or are you going to compromise? Or are you going to move on? Are you going to figure out something else? And that is where you need to figure out in terms of what are those ditches that you are willing to die in? What are those things that you can't compromise on in terms of your own values, in terms of your own sense of morality, etc.? There's lots of things that we can compromise on in life. Hobbies and likes and dislikes and those sorts of things are among them. But there are certain core parts of our being and our values that if we compromise, we're not going to ever probably be happy. Of course, there are exceptions to that rule, but overall, figure out what ditches you are willing to die in, and then find a partner who has similar ditches, if you will. On that note, yes, isn't that a lovely image? We are going to take our second break of the podcast, and when we come back, we'll hit number 9 on this list. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Relationship Podcast. We'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Relationship Podcast. We are talking about this list of 15 things that experts would like you to know about relationships. We've covered the first 8, and now we move on to number 9. Try a nicer approach. Sounds a little bit like kindergarten, doesn't it? Hey, we learn a lot of good things in kindergarten. This one comes from Carrie Cole, who is a Master of Education and LPC. A certified Gottman therapist and master trainer for the Gottman Institute. And she says, research has shown that the way a problem is brought up determines both how the rest of that conversation will go and how the rest of the relationship will go. Wow. She says, many times an issue is brought up by attacking or blaming one's partner, also known as criticism, and one of the killers of a relationship. So start gently. Instead, she says, of saying, you always leave your dishes all over the place. Why can't you pick anything up? Try a more gentle approach, focusing on your own emotional reaction and a positive request. For example, I get annoyed when I see dishes in the living room. Would you please put them back in the kitchen when you're finished? Do you ever think about the way you say things? I do and I don't. Sometimes things just come flying out of my mouth and I'm like, oh my gosh, I could have said that nicer. And we're always saying to, you know, children, say that, you know, be nice. Don't say that. Don't say it that way. We're always trying to get our children to communicate differently with one another. And then we seem to forget that that's important as we get older. And we let the frustration go. And it's sometimes easier, you know, when you're annoyed, it's easier to just let the annoyance fly. But that's not always helpful. My grandmother used to always say, start as you intend to go on in a relationship, no matter what kind of a relationship it is, whether it's work, friendship, just, you know, even, obviously marriage, dating, etc. Start as you intend to continue, basically meaning don't present yourself differently at the beginning than you plan on doing later on down the line. And so kind of the flip side of that is start as you would like the conversation to go. Maybe that's not the flip side, but it's a slightly different angle on that statement. So if you don't want to have a knockdown, drag out screaming match with one another, don't get ticked off and, you know, snippy and snarky and pissy and say the things. Instead, try that gentler approach. Use your eye language. Try saying it in a different way than only speaking out of your anger or your frustration or your annoyance. And this can be hard because we often speak from exactly those places. What this one is saying, at least to me, is slow down, take 10 seconds, whatever it is, to think about what you're going to say before you're going to say it. Especially if it's something, you know, like this, like dishes in the living room, that's not a huge, huge, huge thing. If you argue about it in unhealthy ways, it can become a huge thing, and it will become about more than just those dishes in the living room. But if you take 10 seconds to stop and think, how could I approach this in a different way that's not aggressive, that's not passive aggressive? How can I say this in a different way? Try a nicer approach. That's number 9. Number 10, make sure you're meeting your partner's needs. And this comes from Jeremy Nicholson, PhD, a psychologist and dating expert. And he says, the number one thing I've learned about love is that it is a trade and a social exchange, not just a feeling. Loving relationships are a process by which we get our needs met and meet the needs of our partners too. When that exchange is mutually satisfying, then good feelings continue to flow. When it's not, then things turn sour and the relationship ends. That is why it is important to pay attention to what you and your partner actually do for each other as expressions of love, not just how you feel about each other in the moment. And when I think about this, I think about when we are dating. And I can speak for myself, and I can speak for female friends. I maybe can't speak for men as much, but often as women, maybe men do this sometimes too, but often we find ourselves thinking in a relationship, oh, that's not a problem, that will change after we're married or after we're living together. Maybe there's something that your partner likes to do that you don't like to do, that you are doing even though you don't like it, because you don't want to disrupt this new relationship. You don't want to, you know, you want to present your, you want to put your best face forward, right? So sometimes in the beginning of a relationship, we put forward this not entirely truthful persona. And so we'll maybe do things we don't like to do, or we will not do things that we want to do because we don't want to look unappealing to this person that we really, really like and we want to have a relationship with. But if you do those things thinking, well, later, once we're more established, then I don't have to do those. But you've already set a precedent, right? Now your partner expects those needs to be met, expects, thinks that you like those things, and you will do that, those things with him or her. And this can be anything from your hobbies to things that you like to do in terms of intimacy and sex. There's all kinds of things that if you present yourself in one way, and then a year, 2 years, 20 years down the line, you're like, you know what? I don't like that. And I never did like that. And we need to stop. And your partner's like, but I don't want to stop. So it's not saying that you can't recover from those types of conversations, but just, again, kind of like number 9, start as you intend to continue. Don't put out a different persona than the one that you are happy to live with and be for the rest of your life, if this is somebody that you want to spend the rest of your life with. Number 11, take care of yourself. And this comes from Margaret Paul, who is a PhD and relationship expert and co-creator of Inner Bonding. And she says, there is one major cause of relationship problems, self-abandonment. We can abandon ourselves in many areas: emotional, which can be judging or ignoring our feelings; financial, spending irresponsibly; organizational, being late or messy; physical, eating badly, not exercising; relational, creating conflict in a relationship; or spiritual, depending too much on your partner for love. When you decide to learn to love yourself rather than continue to abandon yourself, you will discover how to create a loving relationship with your partner. Relationships involve more than one person. You can't ignore your own wants, desires, needs, health, etc., 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 to be in a relationship. You cannot abandon your sense of self to be with someone else. In the long run, it's not going to work. It's not going to be healthy for you physically, again, spiritually, emotionally. It's going to explode somehow. It's going to come out somehow. And it's not fair to your partner, to your family, to your friends, to constantly be denying parts of yourself, to constantly be ignoring your own needs. So we can, as she says, abandon ourselves in many ways when we're in relationships because it's easier, right? I don't want to make a fuss. I'll just do X, Y, and Z because it's easier and I don't want to cause waves. But you're not going to be happy. That's not going to make you happy. It's not going to satisfy your own needs and your own sense of self. So that can be a very major cause of relationship issues. Number 12, don't forget to keep things hot. And I'm going to guess she's not talking about dinner time. This is from Sari Cooper, who is a licensed individual couples and sex therapist. And she says, many times people become increasingly shy with the person they love the more as time goes by. Partners begin to take their love for granted and forget to keep themselves turned on and to continue to seduce their partner. Keep your sex esteem alive by keeping up certain practices on a regular basis. This allows you to remain vibrant, sexy, and engaged in your love life. Maybe you have toddlers right now, and you haven't slept in what feels like 42 years. The last thing you want is sexy fun time when you've got baby spit up all over you, when you haven't showered, you can't even remember since when you are sleep deprived, when you are grumpy, you're tired, you just want to sleep. Yes, there are going to be those times. Of course there are going to be those times. There's going to be those times when you just aren't in the mood, regardless of if you have small children that are keeping you awake. And yet if those times go on too long, you're going to lose some of your sense of intimacy with your partner. This isn't saying have sex whenever your partner wants to, regardless of your own feelings, even if you're tired and you don't feel attractive, whatever. No, this is saying that you need to be as conscious of this area of your relationship as you are with all other areas of your relationship. So I hate to say it, but sometimes you got to take one for the team. That sounds so rapey. I'm sorry. No, it just means that sometimes we're not going to fully be in the mood, but put the effort and let me put it this way. Not taking one for the team in terms of your partner wants sex and you don't, so you just take one for the team. No, you know you haven't had sex in a while. You're still tired, you're still stressed, but you decide that, okay, tomorrow I'm going to do this, this, and this that I know my partner likes in terms of, you know, like, however you usually seduce your partner, whatever that looks like, I'm going to make an effort and I'm going to do this. Even though I don't maybe really fully want to, I'm going to do this because we are in this relationship. Our intimacy is failing. So sometimes we have to pay attention to that. And I would add to this, you know, continue to date. Don't make everything about everything else but the two of you. Make a regular date night, go out, get away from everything, spend time with each other, reconnect with each other as a couple, as opposed to as parents or as the whatever you are at work or whatever it is, reconnect as a couple. So we are going to take our final break of the podcast, and when we come back, we'll be finishing up with this list, three more to go. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Relationship Podcast.
Golden State Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
And we're back with the GSMC Relationship Podcast, talking about this list of 15 things that experts want you to know about relationships to help you have the best relationship you possibly can have. So we are up to number 13, and that is remove the pressure on performance. And this comes from Chelsea Holland, who is a sex and relationship therapist at the Intimacy Institute. And she says, the penis-vagina model of sex comes with pressures, such as having an orgasm at the same time, or the idea that an orgasm should happen with penetration. With these strict expectations comes a pressure on performance that ultimately leads many to feel a sense of failure and frustration. Instead, try to expand your concept of sex to include anything that involves close, intimate connection with your partner, such as sensual massages, taking a nice shower or bath together, reading an erotic story together, playing with some fun toys. The possibilities are endless. And if orgasm happens, great. And if not, that's okay too. When you expand your definition of sex and lower the pressure on orgasm and penetration, the anxiety around performance dissipates and satisfaction can escalate. This could be an entire podcast in itself, because there is so much behind what she is saying in terms of all of this. But it kind of goes back to the number earlier on with don't always go for the big O. Here, there is that expectation set up by social construction, what we see in movies, what we read in books. And if you've ever read a lot of romance novels, they're changing a little bit now, but it used to be romance novels, sex was always amazing for both people, and they always tend to orgasm at the same time. And I remember in college, I was reading something that said that orgasming at the same time is the nirvana of sexual relationships. It rarely happens. I mean, you're two different people and your bodies are set to different rhythms, and you can still be completely enjoying yourself with and not orgasm at the same time as your partner. Also, we're taught that women should orgasm with penetration, which doesn't always work, right? Can happen sometimes, of course, but it's not the only way, and it's not always the easiest way. Penetration can be painful if a woman is not properly prepared and not properly aroused. There's just all kinds of complications. And like I said, that's why this could be an entire podcast, because we could talk about so many different things in terms of how we are taught about sex and what we are shown about sex, et cetera, et cetera. All this is saying, not all this is saying, but this is saying that intimacy is really the most important thing. Try to expand your concept of sex to include all of that closeness, all of that intimacy, something that doesn't necessarily result in orgasm, something that just strengthens your bond as a couple, strengthens your bond of intimacy. Number 14. Create a fulfilling life for yourself. And you can tell that we are getting kind of different ways of saying the same thing from different experts, which is good because it really reinforces this list, right? This one comes from Charlie Bloom, who is an MSW, a relationship expert and author of Secrets of Great Marriages, Real Truth from Real Couples About Lasting Love. And Charlie says, like many people, I grew up believing that marriage required self-sacrifice, lots of it. My wife, Linda, helped me to see that I didn't have to become a martyr and sacrifice my own happiness in order to make our marriage work. She showed me that my responsibility in creating a fulfilling and joyful life for myself was as important as anything else that I could do for her or the kids. Over the years, it's become increasingly clear to me that my responsibility to provide for my own well-being is as important as my responsibility to others. This is easier said than done, but it is perhaps the single most important thing we can do to ensure that our relationship will be mutually satisfying. And I appreciate that this is written by a man, because often we think about this from a woman's perspective. You know, women have been expected to sacrifice so many different things in order to be in a relationship. But men also experience this. Men are taught that they are supposed to be the providers, right? When we go into that, when we go into sexist ideals of relationship, men are providers, women are nurturers. And so often men sacrifice bits of themselves to live up to that role. Very often women sacrifice parts of themselves to live up to what they think they're supposed to be in a relationship. Either way, no matter how you're doing it, you're ignoring vital parts of yourself, vital parts of your health, vital parts of your relationship. You have to be fulfilled in your, you have to be fulfilled also, not just doing what you think is expected of you as a man, doing what you think is expected of you as a woman. Regardless of what that looks like, you have to also be happy, and you have to help your partner discover that as well. You have to help each other to find those moments and to find what makes you both happy, both in the relationship and apart, separate from the relationship. And now finally, number 15, identify your good conflicts and work on them together. And this last one comes from Ken Page, a psychotherapist and author of Deeper Dating, How to Drop the Games of Seduction and Discover the Power of Intimacy. And Ken writes, every couple has what I call a good conflict. In long-term relationships, we often feel the thing you most need from your partner is the very thing he or she is least capable of giving you. This isn't the end of love. It's the beginning of deeper love. Don't run from that conflict. It's supposed to be there. In fact, it's your key to happiness as a couple. If you both can name it and commit to working on it together as a couple, if you approach your good conflicts with bitterness, blame, and contempt, your relationship will turn toxic. So how often do we think about the word good and conflict together like that? Good conflicts. No, conflict is bad, right? Many of us try to avoid conflict at all cost. And yet he is saying that there are things that are, there can be good conflicts. There can be things that by working through them, we're only going to grow stronger as a couple. And these, from what he's writing, are not easy. This isn't something about, you know, this isn't like deciding who's going to take the garbage out this week. This is deep and entrenched and ingrained things in your relationship. But the more you work on it, the more you continue to struggle together in respectful and honest ways, the stronger your relationship is going to be. So that's the 15 things on this list. What did you think? Are there things you would add? What have you found in your relationships that are the essential items in order to maintain a healthy long-term relationship? What would you add to this list? Are there things you would take off of this list? I'd love to hear from you. You can find us on social media and let us know your thoughts. And like I said, I would love to hear what you think about this list. And that's today's podcast, those lists of things to think about in terms of relationships. I want to thank you for joining me. I hope you will join us again next week when we talk more about relationships. And in the meantime, you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download those podcasts on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, any app that you use for any of your mobile devices. And you can follow us on social media. We would love to hear from you. Tell us what you think. Tell us what works in your relationship. Tell us what you would like to hear on this podcast, etc. So you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, and Facebook, and we would love to hear from you. Again, thank you for joining me. I hope you will join me next time. In the meantime, have a wonderful week, and I'll talk to you later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.